The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw News Brief. Today we're going to talk about the WWE putting on longer matches, the WWE wanting Dolph with shorter hair, we're going to make some completely uninformed Impact Slammiversary predictions, and we're going to drop a preview of tonight's SmackDown. But first, Larson.
Yeah?
When are we going to see Brock Lesnar on WWE TV again?
I don't know. Oh, you want real news? Okay. So, you know, there have been some conflicting reports about whether Brock was originally scheduled to be on this year's SummerSlam or not. But at this juncture, it seems pretty obvious that the biggest party of the summer will likely happen at the PC and without Brock Lesnar, because he'll probably just stay home and do what, Steve?
He's going to stare at his land.
Stare at his land.
That's what he likes to do.
That's what he likes to do. With the most recent Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer seems to confirm that scenario and mentions that it could be a while until we see the Beast incarnate again, saying, quote, Lesnar is not scheduled for this year's SummerSlam show. One of the reasons he put over McIntyre so strongly was because he was not coming back anytime soon.
This is not shocking at all. Nobody wants to see this stuff. I mean, Brock Lesnar, he's one of those guys who just works best in front of people. Like, he's an attraction, and you need the, you know, him just standing there awkwardly, bouncing side to side, dancing a little bit to his music or whatever. It just doesn't work in a performance center.
You don't have Brock Lesnar guy doing this.
Yeah, exactly. You need Brock Lesnar guy if you're going to have Brock Lesnar. So this is, I mean, on one hand, the only surprise about it is that Brock Lesnar has been Mr. SummerSlam. If you look back at SummerSlam, I think he's either main evented or been on the show at least.
He came back in 2012, like every year,
Every single year he's been at SummerSlam, and I'm pretty sure he's main evented like 90% of those, like the vast majority of them. He might
The only one he didn't was when it was Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
That was 2014?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, this isn't surprising given the current circumstances. WWE, they are trying to do a little bit of belt tightening, but I kind of think that if they thought Brock Lesnar would help their horribly sagging ratings, maybe they would plunk down the money for it, but I don't know. They might just be writing this whole year off, man.
I mean, the way, you know, Meltzer puts it, it was like it was never in the plans to begin with. You know, and we had heard that from various places that maybe at some juncture, the original plan for SummerSlam was, especially if the crowd was going to be there, was for Drew to have a rematch against Brock so he could have that moment of beating Brock in front of fans. But then there's been some conflicting stuff over that, whether that was penciled in at all, whether it was not. So, I mean, regardless, it's not going to happen.
You want some completely baseless speculation?
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't, if that's true, if that was the original plan, was him not to do SummerSlam regardless of fans. If at some point after Mania but before SummerSlam they were going to get fans back, they probably would have opened up the wallet for him to come back and change the plan. Because you're right, I think they probably would have wanted that big Drew moment. Right now, the way Randy Orton is going, though, him versus Drew makes all the sense in the world.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be killer. Yeah, it's gonna be really good. You think they're gonna have some weird pre-film stipulation for that, or cinematic stipulation of some sort?
They're starting to go a bit overboard with these cinematic matches.
No way, man! I want more cinematics, and I want longer matches. That's a good thing because apparently WWE does too. It's probably a good thing, Larson, that Brock is staying home, because according to Tom Colohue, WWE is looking to put on longer matches.
Brock doesn't do longer matches. That's why that's in there.
Yeah, he doesn't. So Tom said this during a recent episode of Sports Kita's Dropkick Discussions podcast. He said, there has been a mandate from WWE management recently to have longer matches. A large part of this is down to the fact that they don't have as many people as they normally would, so they have to stretch things out a little bit. It worked out, I think, about a week and a half ago on SmackDown, where they just hit all the different divisions, one match for each one. It really helped keep things hyped up. But obviously, they have lost a few more people since then. Raw this week was very much built around that as well. So for Extreme Rules, the same rule applies. The cinematic matches are apparently quite long, and there is still a chance that we see a SmackDown Tag Team title match added to the card. So that's interesting stuff. I'm in favor of, you know, SmackDown a couple weeks ago, they had like three matches like in a row or something that were just killer barn burner matches. They're pretty long. I'm a fan of that. Not what we saw on SmackDown last week.
No,
that was awful.
No, we've seen this several times on Raw. We'll have a talking segment to precede a match. And between the talking segment and the match, it'll take up like 35, 40 minutes of airtime between all that stuff and commercial breaks. We've seen that for a couple of weeks now. I would not be surprised, as this report states, that continues, given they might be a bit shorthanded between people not wanting to work, people who can't work, given everything that's going on. As long as the matches are good, heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, I mean, typically, if they're going to put on like a 25-minute match or a 20-minute match, they're not going to do that with, you know, some like lower card guys. Usually they save that for like, I mean, you know, you look at, for example, one of the early examples of this is Aleister Black versus Apollo Crews. And it was like, whoa, wow.
Yeah, it's really good.
They are doing this right now. Really? That's great. Mm-hmm. They typically save that stuff for that. Now, if you want to put Baron Corbin in a 25-minute match,
Baron versus Braun in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Mm-mm. No, no good. You know, I mean, dude, honestly, Raw needs to go down to 2 hours and put 1 hour of like some really snazzy, like, hey, let's look at this awesome match from the past. People like that stuff. I don't get why they don't do like an hour of that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
don't
contractually they can't.
That could be, but they have such a huge archive of incredible wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I know.
The fact that either they don't or can't use that in their broadcast stuff. Is kind of a bummer. Although, you know, like FS1 has been running a bunch of old pay-per-views.
It does pretty well, too.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't do, like, Raw numbers. Seemingly, it's about to, though. Like, if the trend continues.
The first WrestleMania they showed did almost NXT numbers, didn't it?
I think, you know, dude, honestly, I think, yeah, it did. I think what they could do is do, like, director commentary stuff. You know? Like, when they had Shawn Michaels and Razor and Scott Hall do commentary, basically they chopped the crap out of it, but they did commentary on their ladder match. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, who wouldn't want to see that? That sounds great. You know,
I know that's great.
This is the perfect time to start pulling that curtain back. You know what other vintage moment they should go back and look at, Larson?
Oh, what's that?
When Dolph Ziggler cut his hair and dyed it brown, or let the bleach like leave his hair? I don't know how that works. Anyways, remember that weird period years ago when Dolph Ziggler had short brown hair, Larson?
Vaguely.
My memory might be crap. For some reason, I still remember that. Well, if you've ever wondered the real reason behind the short-lived look, we're here to show... Oh, wait, no. We're here to show the world.
We're here to show the world, so come on.
In an interview with Talk Sport, Ziggler said it was because he was told his long blonde hair was keeping him from being incredible world champion. Although I can name like a ton of long-haired blonde world champions, Larson.
Yeah,
this is what he had to say. Why don't you go ahead and do your best Dolph Ziggler?
I'm here to show the world. One time, a long time ago, I was told the reason I'm not credible for world championships. This is 10 years ago, maybe longer. Whatever. The reason I'm not credible enough to be winning world championships is because my hair. Not because I got beat up. I get beat up. Not that I lose every match. Not that I don't talk. It was because of my blonde hair. So it got cut short and dyed black, and I was serious. I went out there and beat the hell out of Santino, and it was the dumbest thing I've ever done. I didn't want to do it. I said, this isn't me. We could find a way to introduce more of my shooting background and things. Nope. That's what they wanted, the haircut. Then after 3 weeks, they said, our bad. Sometimes people don't see it. How about I just beat some people up sometimes, or won a couple matches, or talked. Or talk like I know I am right now and defend myself and say, hey, I should be out there tying people in knots, winning world titles, getting on the microphone, hopping on a jet, doing a press conference and strutting away with Ric Flair. And they go, yeah, but I don't know. We should just cut your hair. So I try to get out of it as much as I could. But sadly, I guess that's the vision that they have. And you have to go with that and try and fight them every single day. And I do fight the good fight behind the scenes and in the ring every damn day.
Yeah. I mean, with Dolph's skill set, I mean, he was super over at one point. And, you know, he had Big E and AJ Lee with him. You would think with his skill set, with the way he sells, he's always kind of been perpetual high-profile enhancement guy, you know? Like, yeah. He won the world championship, but I guess because of concussion issues or whatever, like, they took it back off him after, like, a month. He had that amazing cash-in that everybody loved.
Oh, man, that was incredible.
And yeah, I feel like he is one of those guys that he has had an incredible career. He really, anybody mm-hmm. would be happy to have Dolph's career, you know, at all. But you got to wonder, like, he never really hit his ceiling. Like, his ceiling was pretty high up there. And they could have gone any number of ways with him. And I wonder if any of it might have been sort of analysis paralysis, if you will. Like, well, this guy has a really sort of varied skill set. What do we do with him?
Yeah. I mean, we've very rarely seen him really utilize his extensive amateur background.
I know. I mean,
imagine. He could be Zack Sabre Jr.
I was literally about to say that. I know.
We just don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. Another thing we don't know, Larson, is who's going to win at Slammiversary. We're going to do our best to predict that right now.
I don't think.
I might check it out, but maybe I'll live tweet it. But like, I'm not sure I'm going to do like a watch along thing because we can't co-stream it, and I'm not sure how many of the friendos are going to get it. Like, it might be me and five people. Just sitting here sweating on Twitch. But I might check it out on my iPad. I don't know. I mean, it's a big wrestling thing. It's Slammiversary. So we're going to go ahead and give our predictions here. First up, we've got some sort of, what is this? Like
it's a gauntlet match. The gauntlet match winner is new number one contender for a women's title.
Okay. All right.
The participants, Alicia Edwards, Havoc, Kira Hogan, Kimberly, Kylie Rae, Nevaeh? Sure. Madison Rain, Rosemary, Susie, Tasha Steeles, and Taya Valkyrie.
Wow. Okay, gauntlet match, huh? Let's see here. Man, you went I don't want to choose anybody. Let's see here. Dude, I mean, seemingly like Kylie Rae's been doing like the interview rounds like big time lately. She had a good one with Sean Ross Sapp, she had another one with Chris Van Vliet. I mean, I know you picked her already, but that would be my pick as well, Kylie Rae.
All right, Kylie Rae. We both picked Kylie Rae. Next, for the X Division title, champion Willie Mack taking on Chris Bay.
Chris Bay has had some interesting character developments as of late. He's been managed by, what's that dude's name, Johnny Swinger?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Johnny Swinger caught him talking crap about him behind his back. And Johnny Swinger's like, hey, they're saying I'm not even allowed to corner you. I don't even want to anymore. So you're out there by yourself. So so I don't know. That might put the favor in Willie Mack, but I feel like Chris Bay.
Yeah. Now after you explain that, I kind of feel like it's Willie Mack's match to lose. That being said, I know Chris Bay's wrestled out here in California. Well, so is Willie Mack, but Chris Bay.
Yeah, Chris. I'm going to say Chris Bay. Because what better way to, like, you know, get a feud going again? You know, Johnny Swing, he's like, hey, I had this champion without you. I didn't need you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then Willie Mack, honestly, dude, let's be honest. Willie Mack really should be going for that Impact Championship or maybe even Moose's fake TNA Championship. That's a situation I would see Willie Mack in because he's great.
He is great. Next. The Rascals have an open challenge against opponents to be named later. It's got to be the Good Brothers, yeah?
It's got to be the Good Brothers. They're going to show up. Well, wait a second. No. Okay. So the North are taking on Shamrock and Callahan. All right.
Unless the Good Brothers show up after that match and confront the North. They don't have a match of their own. But I'll say Good Brothers. Good Brothers show up. They beat the Rascals.
So wait, what is this match to determine?
Nothing.
This is a match to determine that the Good Brothers are going to do
an Impact now.
Yeah. Going to have a cup of coffee and Impact for the fake TNA World Championship. We got Moose, the fake champion, versus Tommy Dreamer, the real challenger to a fake championship, I guess.
Yeah, regardless, Moose is retaining.
Yeah, Moose is totally going to win this, maybe in dominant fashion. Not sure how they book Tommy Dreamer over there.
I don't know either. Next, we got the North. Your Impact Tag Champs versus Ken Shamrock and Sammy Callahan. That's an interesting tag team.
Didn't they? These guys were just at each other's throats not that long ago.
That's what I thought, too. So the North are totally winning.
The North have had a record-setting tag title reign in Impact. Mm-hmm. Why is it I know so much about Impact, but I don't watch it. I don't watch it. And I don't see that ending. Although, man, throwing together tag teams are a pretty big deal. So, man,
they can be, unless they're thrown together strictly to enhance the feud between them, with, while skipping the step of actually having them be champions together.
You know, man, we gotta. I'm gonna say
this. Oh, look at that.
We have to split at some point, and nothing's on the line here. I'm gonna go with Shamrock and Callahan.
All right, very well. Next, for the Knockouts title, champion Jordan Grace taking on Deonna Purrazzo.
Oh, come on, dude. They're building up Purrazzo so hardcore here. Oh, wow. Yeah,
I'm Jordan Grace is going to win. I don't think Deonna Purrazzo is even under contract.
That doesn't matter with Impact. Everything there is a handshake deal, man. It's like, hey, here's a handshake and a hot dog. You want to do some work for us? Yeah, sure. Why not? Do I get paid? We'll see. We'll see.
No, I got Jordan Grace retaining that title.
They're like, come on, it's good exposure. Might get to NWA, start making some money.
Finally, our main event, Ace Austin versus Eddie Edwards versus Trey versus mystery opponent.
Oh, man, it's EC3 mystery opponent. He's going to win. He's going to win the Impact World Champion, dude.
He is EC3.
Yeah, Ace Austin. Isn't it sad that all the biggest names in this match got themselves out of it? In various ways, because it was supposed to be also Tessa Blanchard and Michael Elgin.
Yeah.
And she didn't show up, and then he wasn't allowed to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is going to be EC3, the 1%.
I kind of feel like whoever to be announced is going to be champion.
Are there any other possibilities? I mean, Heath Slater's a possibility. If Heath Slater is to be announced, he's not going to be world champion.
No, because I think it'd be someone like if Miro was healthy,
mm-hmm.
he could have been a possibility.
Yeah.
Obviously, EC3. Either of those two names.
Speaking of names, we got more names on SmackDown tonight. We're going to get your SmackDown preview right here. AJ Styles and Matt Riddle set for Intercontinental Championship clash. This should be an instant classic, Larson.
I hope so. Next, Bray Wyatt heads to the Firefly Funhouse ahead of the horror show at WWE Extreme Rules.
Oh, nice. Like a little road trip movie with Bray Wyatt. That sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Alexa Bliss invites mystery guest onto A Moment of Bliss. Is this going to be EC3 also?
I doubt it, but that'd be an interesting surprise.
He's going to talk about going to Impact? He's going to do a shoot interview?
That'd be interesting.
Who's she feuding with right now? Alexa Bliss? Is she feuding with anybody?
Sasha and Bayley.
She's sort of in that Sasha Bayley thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be underwhelming. Anyways, hopefully SmackDown's good. We've got two things on here that I like Alexa Bliss, but I mean, I don't really know what to expect with that. It could be another karaoke showdown. The AJ match is going to be great. Bray Wyatt coming to Firefly Funhouse. That'll be cool. Hopefully there's going to be other cool stuff. It's only 2 hours. So join us tonight at twitch.tv/Steven Larson. We're on the road to 500 subs over there. So maybe help us out with that for our live SmackDown review right after the show. And then, of course, it's right after that on demand here at YouTube.
Correct.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.